Let me invite you back to Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. We've entitled our message this evening, A Word of Salvation. We're drawing your attention particularly to the words of verse 42 and 43. The dying thief said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee today, shalt thou be with me in paradise. Let's unite our hearts together, please, in a word of prayer. You pray the Lord might speak to your soul tonight as we meet around His precious Word. Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence in our midst. We thank Thee, Lord, for the solemnity. Even, Lord, words of these hymns we've been singing. Oh God, we recognize, Lord, it's not by works of the flesh that we can do that would ever save us. Lord, should there be any, Lord, that's holding on to that prop, Lord, we pray that Thou would take it from them tonight. Lord, that they might recognize that it's all of Thy grace. We ask, Lord, that Thou would bring us afresh to the cross. Oh Lord, we want to stand there. We want to hear this word, Lord, that was spoken to that dying thief. Lord, we pray to that end Thou wouldst take everything else out of our minds that would clutter and grab the attention of the heart. Lord, for this time remaining, Thou wouldst shut us in with Thy word. God, that Thou would be pleased to speak to individuals. Lord, meet with individual souls tonight in this meeting, whereby they will be born again of Thy Spirit, and they'll never be the same again. Lord, fill me with Thy Spirit and with power. Touch these lips of mine with that live coal from off the altar, that we might preach as thus. Thus saith the Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. One of the greatest precepts that is found in the Scriptures is that God's salvation is entirely by His grace. He is a God of grace. Ephesians 2 verse 8 reminds us, For by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. We do thank God. It is all of grace from beginning to end. It was grace that planned salvation. It was grace that provided salvation. It is grace of God that makes a sinner willing in the day of His power, whereby his hardened heart is broken and unable to receive the engrafted Word of God, which is able to save the soul. If any soul is to be born again, if any soul is to be made fit for heaven, then it will be by the sovereign and irresistible grace of God. And if you desire to see it illustrated, then the Scriptures give us that as well. And you can think, for example, of the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. We know the sort of man that he was. Just prior to that time when the Lord met with him on that road to Damascus, he was a man who was out to cause trouble and to persecute the church of Jesus Christ. And he did so. And he did so as one who was zealous, and a zealous Pharisee at that. Because writing many years after his conversion in the book of Philippians, he's able to state of his unsaved days that touching the righteousness of the law, he was blameless. He had been circumcised the eighth day. He was of the stock of Israel. If there was a man who could trust in the flesh, then it was that man. And his conversion was to make him a new creature in Christ. All things passed away. Behold, all things become new. For after his conversion, his righteousness was no longer the righteousness of the laws and the traditions of the Pharisees, but it was the gospel righteousness of Christ. And constrained by the love for Christ, he went forth at his bidding to preach him to sinners. And we can only say tonight, men and women, that speaks of God's matchless grace. But I also say to you, surely it is not the greatest example of God's free grace illustrated to us in the Scriptures. For that is found in the passage that is before us. For the one who we are introduced to had no moral upbringing, even of the sort of the Pharisees, before he was converted, before he met Christ. And furthermore, he had no active service for Christ after he was converted. Before we meet him, this man had no respect for the law of God, nor for the law of man. And I want you to understand that it was no accident that Christ should be hanging on that middle cross. It was no accident that in his death he was to be numbered with the transgressors. It was no accident that Christ should go to the cross in that very day. For from eternity past it was decreed where and when and how and with whom the Lord Jesus Christ would die. All came to pass exactly with prophetic accuracy as God had decreed it. And dear soul, tonight I want to tell you, he is the same God to this very day who is in control over all things, bar nothing, the day of your birth to the day of your death and everything in between. And what one dying thief heard from the Lord who was dying alongside him that very day was a word of salvation. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. What a word. I want you to see, however, first of all, this man's recognition. If you ever needed to be convicted that God is sovereign even in salvation, then here we have it in this instance. Don't forget, there were two thieves. Two thieves who were being crucified, yet while one received them, the other rejected them. They were equally near the Lord. Both of them heard him speak those words of pardon, and indeed all that transpired during that time on the cross. Both of them were wicked sinners who were dying justly for their deeds. Both of them needed God's forgiveness, for there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yet one died as he lived in his sin, while the other one was to repent, and he rested by faith on Christ for the salvation of his soul. How can we explain that apart from the sovereign will of God? But the same happens today, to this very hour, as the gospel is preached under the same message. One listens with indifference, while another, under the same message, has their heart and has their eyes open to their need and to God's mercy and salvation. And we can only say, even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight. And there might be one broken tonight, and there might be one slain tonight under the preaching of the word, and at the same time there can be one beside you, and they're as hard as the road outside, hardened to the gospel. God is sovereign in salvation. And for this one thief, his heart and his eyes were open to recognize certain things. He recognized that he was a sinner who was helpless. In this dying thief is a pattern, you know, of every soul born of Adam's fallen race. Matthew records that the thieves joined in the mockery of the chief priests and of the scribes. We read something of it there in verse 40, 35 and so forth. But Matthew brings it out and how they cried out, He saved others, Himself He cannot save. And then, in verse 44 of that chapter in Matthew, the thieves also, which were crucified with Him, asked to see Him in His teeth. On the very verge of eternity, they're hanging there. I want you to see it in your mind's eye. They're hanging there on that cross, either side of the Lord, on the very verge of eternity. There is uniting with the bitter enemies of the Lord who have congregated around the cross. Does that not speak to you tonight of the total depravity of man? And the natural enmity of the carnal mind against God? Were they even joined in and cast to see Him in the teeth of the Lord? Dear loved one, without Christ, you're no different. For the Word reminds us the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And it's not until you recognize such that you will see your need of the only Savior. Not until you see your sick condition will you desire the touch of the Master and you will hasten to the great physician. You need to take the place of a lost, helpless sinner before you ever will be saved. And for this thief, that's what he recognized. You know, much is made of this man's salvation in the very last hours. And many a preacher, and myself included, have called it a deathbed conversion, and much is brought out about that. But what is often missed about this thief is his repentance that he showed. And where there's no repentance, there's no salvation. Did you see what he said to his companion in crime, verse 40? But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? A short time previous, he had reviled the Savior himself, but now his words are changed. And his words are different because the God, the Holy Spirit, has been at work in him. And his conscience is now active in the presence of the Savior. And he recognizes that God is a judge. But you know, he doesn't stop there. But he continues by acknowledging his guilt and his due reward of his deeds that they were both receiving on the cross. Look at verse 41. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. He acknowledged his guilt. He acknowledged what he was receiving was just. He recognized that he was a sinner, and as such he was deserving of the death that he was dying. He understood that there was nothing he could do for himself. He could not work any improvement in himself so that he might be accepted by God. I wonder tonight, dear soul, have you got yet to that place? Where you recognize and you acknowledge your sin and you acknowledge also death is also your due, not merely in the physical sense, but eternally in the place along with the devil and his angels, and that of yourself you are helpless to affect your own salvation just as much as it was with this dying thief. His recognition furthermore was of his need of the Savior. It's often the case, you know, that an awakened sinner will seek relief and peace in this place and that place until they realize that they're nothing the better, but rather worse. It was so with the prodigal son. Remember the prodigal son who left the father's house, went into the far country, and when he began to be in want in that far country, instead of returning to his father's house, what did he do? He went and joined himself onto a citizen of that country and fed the swine. Oh, what about the little woman who was bowed over for many years with her infirmity? Having spent all her living on the physician, before she found the great and the true physician. This dying thief was unable to look away to the one that hung on that middle tree, and he realized he was different.
He no doubt had already heard his words of forgiveness that we considered last week in verse 34, and he was convinced that he was an innocent man. As he spake to this filthy, you look at the words of verse 41 again, and it says, "And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." His testimony is of the sinlessness of Christ, and it was to add to that of others what they had already said. You can think of Pilate, and he said, "I find no fault in him at all." Or the message that Pilate's wife was to convey to her husband. She said, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man?" This thief recognized that Jesus was no ordinary man. He was sinless, and one therefore who was dying as a substitute, dying for the deeds of others. Are you there yet? Do you recognize that yet? He wasn't dying on the cross for his own sin, he had none. But he was dying on the cross for sinners and rebels just like you and me. And his recognition was of the need to be saved, for that is why he has heard to cry the words that he did. This robber, having known the working of the Spirit upon him, was brought to the place of not only having a head knowledge of the Savior and who he was, but he was also to be given a saving faith, which is a gift of God. If he was to be saved, then he needed to believe the truth. And here was a man who laid hold upon the word. The title above the Savior's cross detailed, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Yes, he's a king. And this is the people that he came unto, and yet his own received them not. But go back to the first word. This is Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. Dying thief, by the grace of God, by the power of God, had his eyes and heart opened to see the truth and to rest his faith upon it. Tell me, dear soul, tonight, what about you? You cannot say you've never heard. You cannot say you've never heard of the cross. You've never heard of Christ. Oh, listen, I put it to you that the Savior has been uplifted before you before and again tonight as your only hope. And there's not one in this gathering knows or doesn't know that they don't need to be saved. You're in a church tonight, and we're not ashamed to use the word saved and to tell you that you need to be saved. You know it. But I wonder what's going to be your cry tonight. Is it going to be anything like this dying thief? He recognized many things. And there was repentance with this man. And I want to go on and I want to show you now his request. I trust, dear soul, that you understand that it's never enough to believe about Jesus Christ. You may believe in the historic Christ, his birth, his life, his spotless life, his atoning death, his resurrection, his glorious ascension, is coming back again from heaven one day, and yet still not be saved and still not be ready for heaven. It's not enough to believe about Jesus Christ. The devils believe and they fear. There was no reason whatsoever why this dying thief should ever be noticed by the Savior. No reason. He was a rebel. A rebel who had reviled the Christ of God. Yet there was but one thing now that set him apart, and that was his request from the heart. He hadn't the use of his hands or his feet, for you don't need them for salvation. But he had his heart and he had his tongue. And they are needful for salvation. Romans 10 and 10 says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." His request was prayerful. What was his petition? It wasn't that the Lord might honor him. It wasn't that the Lord might exalt him. It wasn't even that the Lord might deliver him like his other partner in crime was to cry out. He merely requested in verse 42, "Lord, remember me." He said, "Lord." Not only did this thief believe that he was a good man, not only did this thief believe that he was an innocent man, but he believed he was the Messiah. He believed he was the Lord. He believed more than two that stood on my doorstep yesterday morning. The Jehovah false witnesses. Here's a man that believed that this man had authority. He believed that he was the Lord of Lords. He believed that he was the King, for no one has a kingdom unless he's a King. He understood that he was the Lord over all. His prayerful request was in faith. He believed. And if a dear sinner is ever to be saved from their sin, then the word that they hear from the Lord must be mixed with faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift of God, you see. What's more, a look at these words and you will understand that it was for pardon. It was only a few words, but words which could not be more effective. "Lord, remember me." He might have requested, "Lord, pardon me. Lord, save me. Lord, bless me." But you know the word, "remember," it incorporates them all. And what an appropriate word that was from the lips of this thief. He was an outcast of society. The public would never think twice about this man. Once he was dead and once they took him down from off that tree, his friends would be glad to disown him as one who had disgraced him and his family. But there was one, if he remembered him, it would be sufficient. And so he offers this pardoning request, "Lord, remember me." He humbly petitioned the Lord that he would remember him. To be remembered of the Lord was all that mattered to this dying man. He wasn't caring about his present circumstances. The pain and the agony that he was enduring. I contend that his mind was upon the proximity of death. Death that would usher him away from the scene of time. His thoughts were upon that which was to follow death, the great hereafter, and all that he desired was to have the assurance that the Lord would remember him. You see, men along the lesson, understand it. Get it into your soul again. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. You're not here forever. And after you close your eyes in death, you don't die like a dog. Listen, you'll have to stand before God. And here's a man realized this. And thereby his request was for pardon. "Lord, pardon me, remember me." You see, also his request was progressive. You know, it's amazing. Amazing how much this dying thief was to learn in such a short space of time. He believed that a soul didn't die with a body. Or would he have not have said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom"? If he believed a soul died with his body, he wouldn't have prayed that prayer. The soul of man which distinguishes him from the beast in the field is that which is never dying. It is eternal. And with death comes, it does not go to sleep. It does not be annihilated. But as this man understood, it lives on.
You think of the rich man in Luke 16 and what was said of him. He died and was buried. There's his body. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. There's his soul. Your soul is eternal, and that soul of yours will either be saved or lost. And what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? And there's many today, and they're taken up with trying to get the world's goods and the possessions and building a little empire around them, and yet to the neglect of their eternal soul. He believed that after this life there's a world to come where the righteous shall be rewarded, where the impenitent shall be punished. He knew that sin would be punished by a holy God and that he would have to stand before him. And you know, look at the way in which these two men die at either side of the Savior, one repenting of his sin, the other remaining impenitent. It reminds us of that passage in which the Lord speaks about the dividing of the nations. I turn you to it, Matthew 25, and the words of verse 32. It brings us to the end time, and it says, and before him shall be gathered all nations. All nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. There's the great separation. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. What are you tonight, the sheep of Christ or a goat of the devil? You're one or the other. One shall be ushered into the presence of his Father, those that are the God's sheep. And the goats, they shall depart into those everlasting torments. And here's a man, and he knew that he was the Savior from all sin. He knew that he was the King, or else he would never have spoken of the kingdom as he did. And you know, he learned that the Lord was coming back one day to his kingdom, for he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He looks away from the present circumstances and he's able to look into the future. He saw by faith beyond the sufferings, the glory that would follow. And men and women, how can we account for this progression in this faith other than the fact that it must be of God? In the very last throes of his life, he understood a lot in a very short space of time. I wonder, will you make by faith a similar request this evening in the gospel? Lord, remember me. Or you might put it like the publican in the temple, Lord, be merciful unto me, sinner. Will that be the cry that ascends from your heart? I want you to see finally his response. The Savior suffering in agony on the cross may have said to the thief in response that he deserved everything he was getting. But you will note that although the crowd hurled abuse at him, from him to come down from the cross, you'll notice he never made a response to them. He made no response to those cries, yet the request of this dying thief was to be responded to in a most gracious manner. That's grace. There's a discovery here in the response. Verse 43, Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And that is there is a readiness of the Savior to save all who will call upon him for salvation. There's a discovery. The Lord could have said to this thief that he was too late. But But he does not break his word, for he saith, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I am discovered that there's never a wrong time to seek the Lord, as can be seen from this dying thief. When he made his request unto the Savior, the Lord was being crucified for the sins of his people. He was enduring the cross, and yet in the midst of the pain and the agony that he gives this answer of peace. And he does so without any delay. Dear soul, we discover surely there's a readiness with the Lord to save sinners as well as having the power to do so. He's able to save them to the uttermost, all that come unto God by him. And isn't that displayed in the fullest sense when we consider this dying thief? If the Savior, while hanging on the cross, could pardon and could open the gates of paradise for a deep dyed thief and sinner like this man, then never you doubt his sufficiency to save a sinner like you now, as one who has conquered death, as one who has conquered the devil, as one who has conquered hell, as one who is reigning tonight. And who is seated at God's right hand on high. Wonder, will you make that discovery? And make it now. For behold, now is the day of salvation. There's also a destination spoken about in this response. Verily I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Those are golden words to this thief. The opening word, verily, is the same word as the Hebrew word for amen. In other words, it's a strong affirmation of what the Lord promised he would do, and that involved the destination. But you had far exceeded even what the dying thief had requested. He wanted the Lord to remember him when he came into his kingdom. But the assurance that the Savior gave was, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. There will be no delay. There will be no way, halfway house of purging or having to purify himself before he got there. There will be no soul sleep as is propagated by the cults that will stand on your door. As soon as a thief would close his eyes in death, resting his soul in Christ for salvation, then he would be with him in paradise. The sinner's fitness for paradise rests solely on the Savior's shed blood to cleanse and to make us whole. And this thief knew his destination, and he was sure of it before he died. And dear man and woman, young person, that's what it is to be saved. And that's what it is to be resting on Christ. The child of God has the assurance that we'll be in heaven one day as if we're already there. The word paradise that is used is a word signifying a garden full of every blessed thing. A word used to describe Eden of old. A place that is described more fully for us in the book of the Revelation as the eternal abode of the righteous. And I ask a very simple question tonight. Are you sure of heaven as you sit there? As this preacher preaches to your heart, are you sure that you're going to be in heaven one day? Backslider's not so sure, you know. For they've lost the joy of the Lord and they're walking afar off. Maybe that's you tonight. And it's not as close with you with the Lord as it used to be. And the sinner tonight has no assurance of heaven, for they're yet in their sin. Sure. There's one we thought, I don't want you to miss in closing.
a discovery here and the response, there's a destination, but you know there's a desire. Don't miss the two words. Today, and by the way, today is the emphatic word. The Lord said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. It's not a lovely touch. With me. Christ came to purchase salvation for his people so that they would enter into fellowship with him. And that's what will make heaven to be heaven. It's Christ that the believer longs for. Psalm 73 in verse 25 brings it out. What have I in heaven but thee? And there's none upon earth that I desire beside thee. And for Christ, his desire, his longing is to have his redeemed people gathered around him. That's his desire. Brought out in his great high priestly prayer, John 17, 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. His longing, his desire is to have his own blood-bought people with him in glory. He said, I will come again to receive you unto myself. He said in his dying speech, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. The greatest blessing for the believer is to know one day, so shall we ever be with the Lord. A blessing only reserved for those who repent. And for those who call upon the Savior to save them. Like this dying thief. Are you one tonight? Who has not only the desire to be in heaven. But also you have the assurance. If not, come now. Come now and receive it. Let's get this matter settled tonight. And be sure ere you go out into the darkness, the preacher one day, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. How? All because of Christ and His matchless grace. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer, please. Not sing any more tonight. Whether God spoke to your heart, you know it's not well with you. You know you're not singing. I wonder, will you come this evening? We'll gladly speak to you. Open the book. Go into a wee room. We'll open the scriptures to you and point you to the Savior. Lord, your loved one, come tonight. Young person, come tonight. Take Christ as Lord and your Savior, just like this dying thief did. Come now. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the message of God's salvation. We thank the Lord, it's a word of salvation. We praise the Lord for the incarnate Word. We thank the Lord for the one who died as a sinner's substitute, who took the sins of his people, bore them away in his own body on the tree. Lord, we rejoice even in the midst of the sufferings and the agony. He had a word of salvation for one who repented and called upon him. Lord, we rejoice that thou art still the same Christ this evening, as one who is alive forevermore, as one who is reigning. We thank the Lord that he is able to save all that come unto God by him. Lord, give deciding grace tonight. Give the gift of faith. My dear loved one this evening would have done with their sin. They would embrace the Lord of glory. They might repent, turn to Christ by faith and be saved. Answer prayer. Speak on when the preacher's voice is silent. Part us in thy fear. For we ask these things and receive your precious name.